Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Niall Breslin, good morning.
Good morning, Brendan. How are you?
Good. What is your Nokia Sunday, Brezzy?
It's the new mask, Brendan.
Yeah.
It was more out of necessity, to be honest with you. I am in the kind of business end of a PhD and book deadlines and all the other stuff that comes with it. And I kind of just got that wake-up call that most of us were getting, that I was being completely and utterly swallowed by my phone. And it wasn't normal. It's almost like you were so absorbed and suffocated by it that I wasn't getting any of this done. And it was just out of pure distraction. And the Nokia Sunday, I was up in the hardware store and I saw one of those awful Nokias. Those of you old enough to remember, you got a free one when you joined a bank in college. And I bought it. It was 20 quid. And I said to my parents, the people I love, because my biggest anxiety is if somebody I love needs me and they can't get hold of me, that freaks me out. So I said, there's their number. Don't ring me unless you need me. And I just used the Nokia on a Sunday. And it's okay. People wonder the simplicity of that. It is quite simple, but the effectiveness of it is actually much more profound than it sounds.
Yeah, I can imagine. I feel like breathing out already at the idea of that. So, okay, let's go back then. Do you think you were on some level addicted to your smartphone?
I mean, it's a word we use. There's definitely addictive behaviour in it. Like, I noticed it because I started to do pretty full-on digital detoxing, and I was getting all those responses of deep anxiety, sweating, physiological responses to it. I was going to the toilet, like, and checking for my phone. Like, when did that happen? It became so automatic and so ingrained in me that from my own perspective, and this isn't me pontificating on people using their phone, from my own personal perspective, this wasn't normal. I didn't like this. I didn't like this about me. I didn't like the feel that I had that control kind of taken from me. So that's where it started. And I started developing out my own personal detoxing. And the impact was massive.
Was there a straw that broke the camel's back, do you think?
Yeah, there was just a few things. I think ultimately one of them for me was I got to that point. I got, you know, when you get the notification of how long you use your phone for. And I was under this deadline and I was freaked out by the deadline. I was like, I don't have enough time in my day to get this done. It's not going to be delivered. And when you have deadlines and you work the way I work, which is off contract, you're breaching contract if you don't reach the deadline. There's very real consequences to this stuff. So I just realized I got this text that said I'd use my phone 11 hours a day on average. Yeah. And I felt physically sick. I was like, there's something wrong here. Because like, I was fighting for hours. I was looking for an hour in a day to get the writing done. And I was spending 11 hours on my phone, which was, that's not normal.
Okay, so talk me through the process. I mean, going cold turkey is probably unrealistic for people in reality, isn't it? So talk me through, you have a kind of a 4-week plan, yeah? A process that you went through for changing your relationship with the phone.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about it is I some of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life have been on my phone. I've learned to do things I'm not the, you know, censor, big bad wolf. And I know you had Jonathan Haidt on, whose work is just phenomenal. It's given us the data. It's given us the research. It's allowed us understand the true extent of what's happening. So I, like everything in the world, it requires balance. So I kind of decided the way to approach it was over 4 weeks. And week one, what I did is I took one app off my phone a day of the apps I used the most. So by the end of that week, 7 apps were gone.
How did that feel?
That was actually pretty easy. That was fine, because some of the apps, honestly, if we can get rid of WhatsApp, my life would be a hell of a lot easier. I find that the worst, because there's an entitlement to your attention. People, if they text you or they send you a message, almost feel there's a cultural entitlement to say, you must get back to me. And if you don't, there's something wrong. That, once again, is not normal. We've normalized that in culture. And
yeah, you hear the kids saying that someone left them on red, like, and it's like a human rights outrage.
But I'm the same. When someone does it to me, then I get, like, we try to pretend and be self-righteous about this, but I do the same thing. If I send a message and someone doesn't get back to me, I then send another one. And the worst phrase in modern culture is a gentle reminder. I hate that phrase more than a gentle reminder that you haven't got back to me within 14 seconds. The second week, I did what I call 777. The phone goes off at 7 p.m., doesn't go on till 7 a.m. for 7 days. Try it. Okay. It's simple. People will then, they'll quantify it and justify it and say they need for work. Get a Nokia. I'm not sponsored by Nokia. Just get one. Give those people your number. People don't need to text you outside work hours.
And how did that feel that week? Like, I mean, you must have been antsy.
Your problem is you end up replacing it with like depressing soaps and serial killer murders on Netflix, but you do. And it was what Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, like this is actually what he said. He said their biggest competitor in the marketplace wasn't Facebook, wasn't Amazon, it was sleep. So we've commodified sleep in the marketplace. It is a commodification. When we're doing that and we talk about attention, we really have to get a little bit more real about this. So these are the people whose jobs are designed to make sure we don't sleep and our attention isn't on the things that we probably should be doing, including the people we love, which is a huge part of my own reasons why I got off the phone. Week three was probably the hardest, where you're only allowed to use your phone for 3 hours a day, which people will go, that's a lot of time. But actually, if you look at the average time people are using their phones, that's well below half of it. And then week four is no smartphone.
Okay, so tell me about the 3 hours a day then. Did you give a specific 3 hours where the phone is on and then it's off outside those 3 hours?
You can choose. I mean, if kids are in school, the last thing you want them is where they can't use their phones coming home from school and using it for 3 hours. I mean, for me, for somebody who works for themselves, who's at home, who enjoys certain, and it's important for me, Brendan, I do feel I want to understand what's going on in the world and I care greatly. So I do feel part of that is I want to keep myself updated. I want to understand.
Yeah.
So I don't want to just pretend the world doesn't exist outside my four walls. But 3 hours is enough to do that. And then the 4th week was no smartphone. And then I did that before quite a big endurance event that I was doing. And so I was being measured. All my metrics were being measured. My heart rates, my heart rate variability, boring things like that.
Yeah.
But there was a dramatic impact on even my heart rate dropped. My heart rate variability increased. My sleep. All of this, all these metrics went up through the roof.
Was there a huge anxiety initially? Because, you know, if your phone breaks or goes into water or whatever, I always find the first few hours, like, I feel like I'm, you know, missing my right hand or something. And then you calm down a bit, don't you, and kind of settle into it.
Well, this is the thing, it's actually to feed into that anxiety. One of the other elements of the modern cultural world we've created is that we've become really, really kind of almost allergic to discomfort. We have almost this belief that we should never feel uncomfortable or uneasy. And being uncomfortable and uneasy is part of life. It's just one of those things. So actually sense into that anxiety when you come off your phone. It will be there. But my biggest anxiety was the people that need me can't get hold of me. That was one I couldn't let go, which was kind of solved by the fact that I still have a phone. But I don't have access to the entire world in that phone. There's no WhatsApp. And I actually looked like at the different apps and people would say, you know, Instagram, X. I deleted X 3 long before Musk came along. I was like, I'm out. This isn't normal. This isn't a normal platform. The way we talk to each other, all civil discourse is gone. I'm out. It's where context goes to die. So I deleted that 4 years ago. And then the big thing for me around that is that anxiety is perfectly normal. Sit with it. And it does ease. It definitely eases. But with the week without the phone, the difference it made, I cannot describe it. And I mean, there's huge research starting to come out now around.
So go on, tell me, like, are you more present?
That's the first one. I think our relationships, the people around us, you know, the people that we're closest to, at a time in the world does feel like it's absolutely imploding. And, you know, we see what we see. A way to kind of help you get through that is in your community. And you can't be in your community if you're not there. You have to be present with people and you have to be present in your relationships. That was one huge element for me. The other one was, and the thing about it is what we also done is we've hijacked this idea of like when we take presence time, then we can be more productive. Productive is just a neoliberal word. Like, how do we make people more productive so that they can work more, so they can create more for the economy? We need to talk more about how do we teach people to rest. And it's not normal. This is once back to the normality thing. People talk about, you know, I was called a champagne socialist by an American yesterday online because I was talking about these things. I said, it's not socialism to expect people not to work 60 to 8 hour weeks. It's not socialism to expect that people can go home after a day of work and not be contacted. That we've normalized that very recently. That's a very new thing in sociology. And we have an opportunity to actually address it before it becomes completely ingrained in how we think.
But listen, work aside, we do it to ourselves as well, don't we? Because, like, basically, any lull in anything, if you're waiting a minute for something, you have to distract yourself straight away, like in case you'd be bored for a second.
Oh God, being bored is like, isn't it? I always joke about this at mindfulness. It's like when I'm sitting on your arse doing nothing become the most difficult thing for us to do now. It's people go, oh geez, I couldn't do that. I couldn't sit down and do nothing. Because what we do is we have those lads on TikTok who come on and tell you they've done 2 days work before 9 a.m. They've gone to the gym 3 times before 10 p.m. and then they're injecting green stuff into the you know where. And you're sitting and you're trying to rest and you sense consistently that you got to do better because these people with the emotional music in the background and you know those TikTok videos, there's one of a guy who tries to manipulate time and he says, I have more than 24 hours in a day. And you're sitting here just trying to eat a tube of Pringles and relax and watch TV and feel yeah. like I'm doing something fundamentally wrong here. And that's back to the Nokia Sundays. Sundays, I'm not religious, but it was always a day of rest. And in athletes, the top athletes in the world will tell you the most important day in their week is rest and recovery because that's how you improve. That's how you get your gains. That's how you find a little balance. And I think we've hijacked rest. And I think rest is a bad word and it translates into lack of ambition. And in this kind of neoliberal world where ambition at all costs seems to be what we're all driven by, I think we got to start some form of rest revolution. And that starts with the phone. Like we got to take the power back on that side of things. And it ain't easy. And I don't pretend it is. But I would not suggest you just don't stop using your phone. Just find little ways of it working like that, the way I did. And that mightn't work for you, but it worked very well for me.
OK, so basically you've become a little bit less reliant on it overall is the result.
Yeah. And you've actually feel like this is the point as people go, it made me more productive. It wasn't about making me more productive. I wanted to be more present. I wanted to be with, you know, around people I loved and actually be with them. And that's important to me now in my 40s.
Okay, Niall Breslin, thank you very much. And Niall, your Where Is My Mind tour kicks off on May 2nd. Tickets are on sale now. You can find dates and information at niallbreslin.com. Thanks, Brezzy.
Thanks a million, Bren.